Ryan Callahan, GoVols247.com. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, man. We are just having some fun here on a football Friday. And before we talk about Tennessee, Ryan, we got to talk about what Kentucky did defensively last week against Mississippi State. 6 turnovers forced, 20 yards rushing allowed. Were they that good, or was Mississippi State that bad?
Well, I think anytime you have a game like that, it's got to be a little bit of both, right? It's got to be a little bit of the offense just having a truly terrible day. And they did. But, yeah, give Kentucky a lot of credit because they do have a good defense. Right now they're 3rd in the SEC in rushing defense. They've only allowed one of the first 3 opponents on their schedule to rush for 100 yards. So you can expect that to be fairly tough sledding for Tennessee tomorrow. And Mississippi State, I mean, as much as they throw it, you don't see very often where a Mike Leach offense doesn't score an offensive point. So even if it was a historically bad day for Mississippi State in a lot of ways, you got to give Kentucky a lot of credit for finding a way to make that happen over the course of a 60-minute game.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's almost like you'd rather lose 24-0 than 24-2, right? It's just...
The 2 somehow is worse. I don't know why.
Well, Ryan, this comes on the heels of what Tennessee did or actually didn't do last week at Georgia, minus a yard rushing for the game against Georgia's defense, which we know is outstanding. They got studs all over the place. But, you know, the turnovers and the fact that, you know, Tennessee was very much in this game. They got the goal line stand before the end of the half. They went into halftime with the lead, and it all fell apart in the second half. And you and I talked about how polarizing Jarrett Garantano is amongst Vol fans. For those that don't support Jarrett, I would imagine last week didn't do a lot to help their cause. Now, it wasn't all his fault, but not a good performance by the QB.
Yeah, well, we got to see both extremes from Garantano in the same game. We saw the good version in the first half and the not so good version in the second half. And that's so for a half, you know, he was one of the reasons Tennessee led at halftime. One of the main reasons. I think it was 11 of 13, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, do that against a top 5 team any day, and you're going to be in the game. So that was a good start. You know, they weren't doing a lot on offense, but they made just a couple of big plays. Those passes down the sideline to Josh Palmer that were enough to offset the fact that they really weren't running the ball with much success and weren't actually driving into the red zone. They didn't take an offensive snap in the red zone, which is just mind-boggling in a lot of ways. But second half, everything Georgia did, Georgia got even sharper on defense. Obviously, Tennessee's offense didn't adjust well or never really came up with a counterpunch. And Georgia's defense, look, like you said, I think they're going to do that to a lot of teams this year. They're just that good in a lot of ways. But clearly, Tennessee made some mistakes and had some self-inflicted wounds that they've got to clean up moving forward. But no doubt that Georgia looked the part of a top 5 team in the second half. And when they kind of turned it on, there wasn't much Tennessee could do about it. But at the same time, you know, they've got to take better care of the ball. Jarrett Garantano's got to get rid of it or hold on to it and not lose it for a fumble. Just too many mistakes like that. But certainly, you know, Tennessee has some things to build on, at least from the first half. But at the same time, yeah, you can't run the ball that way the rest of the year, really. And a disappointing day for Tennessee's offensive line, obviously, was maybe a little too much, I would say, even going into
the season.
Yeah,
I drank
the
Kool-Aid last week, Ryan. I was all about, you know, after their performance against Missouri, I kind of drank the Kool-Aid a little bit. Maybe a little bit more work to do there. Should Vols fans be concerned about, you know, the lack of running game last week, just because, you know, you got 2 stud running backs in your backfield? The offensive line was supposed to be much improved, and like I said, just didn't get it done against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest concern I think you come away with if you're a Tennessee fan, is clearly the running game. Although I say that, a lot of people were pointing at Garantano first when the game was over Saturday. Fair or not, the quarterback gets all the blame when things go wrong like that and there are turnovers involved, right? But I think the bigger concern, though, is the run game. Not that they're going to struggle that way against everyone they play, because I definitely don't think that's the case. But are they going to have trouble reaching what we thought was a pretty high ceiling because of where they are right now. So last week you had Jerome Carvin out of the starting lineup, but he was banged up. That forced them to move Cade Mays to right guard. They started Darnell Wright, who was not in the starting lineup the week before. But you still had a lot of talent out there. You had all four of those five-star prospects that people were so excited about having together out there on the field, but it maybe wasn't their best lineup, at least as of right now. You've got a couple sophomores there at tackle who are still probably not finished products in Wanye Morris and Darnell Wright. And then you have Trey Smith banged up with a shoulder injury that may affect him the rest of the season. So when you throw all that together, I think there are reasons that offensive line was not up to the task of holding back Georgia for 60 minutes. And that's at least a concern against the really tough teams on the schedule. And Kentucky's defense, I would argue, fits that description. You know, we'll find out more tomorrow about Tennessee's run game, because if they struggle against Kentucky, I think that's a good indication that they're maybe just not going to be able to run it that well against the strong defenses they play. And that's typical of a lot of teams, but not what you expect necessarily from an elite offensive line. So this is another big measuring stick for them tomorrow, I think.
Ryan Callahan is our guest, GoVols247.com. Always great to talk Vols with him. All right, you mentioned Josh Palmer, a couple of touchdown catches in the first half last week. And, you know, we've been talking about the wide receiving core being a strength for this offense. How about his performance last week? Can we expect more of the same as the season goes along?
I think so. I think he's really shown himself as wide receiver one for this offense, and that's kind of what we expected. But he's taken a nice step forward. I think he's been a guy you can kind of count on for a couple nice plays at least in every game, and that's what Tennessee needed him to be, is kind of the most experienced along with Brandon Johnson, but also the most proven among Tennessee's receivers, and I think he has the type of ability to continue to make plays. At the same time, you know, I think even against Georgia, I think Tennessee's receivers across the board, and this was one of the problems for the offense, I think they kind of struggled to create separation. That was something we saw at times with even Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway. Those guys could make plays in tight coverage and sort of offset the fact that they weren't getting separation with their leaping ability and just their ball skills. But these guys that are out there now, you know, Palmer's the one who showed the ability to sort of go up and make a catch in tight coverage and make up for it. But I don't think Tennessee's receivers were getting open enough, and that's something that's going to change or going to need to change if they're going to get this offense really rolling. And I think one of the things they're trying to do with that is they had this Sunday scrimmage that they had planned before the game even, but they had a Sunday scrimmage for players who've not really been out there so far this year, trying to bring along some young guys that haven't had a chance yet because of the preseason being so weird and everything. And that's, I think they need to get some of those freshmen at wide receiver, maybe in the mix a little bit more, Jalen Hyatt, Malachi Wideman. But I think they do have talent there, and Josh Palmer's going to have to carry the load for most of the season, I think, because he's kind of the most proven guy and shown he's the best of that group.
By the way, I thought that was a great idea by Pruitt to have that Sunday scrimmage for, like you said, the guys that haven't played a whole lot, just because it's been such a weird fall camp with COVID and all these types of things. Mm-hmm. And it keeps those kids energized and involved and ready to go at a moment's notice, you know?
Yeah, and he said they're probably going to keep that as part of the schedule on some level going forward. And that's I think it is a good idea. First of all, it gives your team some built-in rest where you're not going all out maybe every single day, and they've made that their practice routine so far, practicing on Sunday instead of taking Sunday as a day off and then taking their day off on Monday. So it kind of gives players a couple days in some cases to heal up from a tough game when you decide to do that. So I think it is a nice way to bring along the young guys on this roster, and they clearly need them to come along at a few positions.
We're talking to Ryan Callahan, GoVols247.com. We've talked so much, Ryan, about Kentucky's defense. What should Vol fans be concerned about the Wildcats' offense?
Well, it's just so different from what you see most of the time these days. It's not a, you know, it's not a wishbone or anything, but it is the run heavy version of the spread offense that you see these days. You know, you got a running quarterback, a true running quarterback, really back there in Terry Wilson, who is going to lead Kentucky in rushing at attempts most weeks, just with the way that they play. They've got other, you know, they've got some running backs that do a pretty good job, but Terry Wilson's their most dangerous runner in a lot of ways. And, you know, he's an inconsistent passer, and that's the knock on Kentucky, but Sometimes they're so good at running the ball that they don't have to throw it a lot to be pretty effective. You know, last week Wilson was not particularly good, but they were tough enough on defense and ran it pretty well and got out with the 24-2 win. So it's just sort of a change up from what you see most of the time these days with just teams throwing it all over the place most of the time, or at least being pretty balanced. Kentucky, you know, is going to be a little more run heavy. Wilson was not particularly good when Tennessee faced him 2 years ago. Kentucky came to Neyland Stadium as a favorite 2 years ago, and the Vols upset them by 2 touchdowns. So they're familiar with Wilson, but he's improved since then. He's a veteran now, and I think there's at least some confidence for Kentucky coming off that win last week. So it's still a dangerous matchup, and I think one of the reasons is it's just such a change up for Kentucky. But I will say Tennessee traditionally does a good job against those one-dimensional type of offenses. Under Jeremy Pruitt, when they face run-heavy teams, they seem to do pretty well. So I do think this matchup kind of plays into what Tennessee does well defensively.
Yeah, Terry Wilson, the leading passer and leading rusher for the Wildcats, for 221 yards rushing, averaging about 4.6 yards a carry. He's thrown for 463 yards, completing about 60% of his passes. So certainly the classic dual threat QB that can give a lot of defenses fits. Ryan, earlier this week, the SEC came out and announced that they're going to give sanctions to teams that don't abide by the COVID-19 protocol. And I mean, in a year where it's COVID-19, there's going to be loss of revenue across the board. To sanction teams $100,000 every week they don't follow the rules in that shared revenue, I mean, if that doesn't get these teams' attention to follow protocol, nothing will, no?
Yeah, and that just puts the pressure on the coaches and the athletic directors and other administrators to make sure they're enforcing things on their players to the greatest extent possible. Because you're right, there are teams that cannot afford that kind of financial hit this year, and they felt they needed to do something, so they're letting people know they're serious about that. And I think you'll see coaches taking it a bit more seriously than they maybe were at first in some cases. Not that anybody was taking it lightly, but I think there's been some selective enforcement, I guess we should say, of what they're actually doing with some of those regulations. So yeah, I think that was clearly a message from the league, and I think they'll see some other teams following that a little more closely now that they're tying that to finances, where everybody's sort of hurting this year, and a lot of schools already doing furloughs and layoffs just to sort of get by through a tough year.
Yeah, I know it's tough on everybody. Of course, the big SEC game this week is Georgia at Alabama, and of course, as we know, Nick Saban, he's got the Rona, even though he's asymptomatic, so he won't be at the game, can't be at the game per the rules. How much would you pay Ryan to kind of, you know, sit in his living room and watch the game with Coach Saban tomorrow night?
You know what? I've got a feeling he's going to be somewhere on a Zoom call with somebody in the press box. I'm going to be shocked if he's not actually part of the game in some form or fashion. The other day we saw from his daughter on Twitter, right, that she said no symptoms. He's out there running practice right now on Zoom, and she said, I had permission to say that. So I think that tells you what Nick Saban is likely to try to do in some way, if I had to guess. So I know the Vegas immediately reacted and dropped Alabama from a 6-point favorite to a 4-point favorite after the news came out about Saban the other day. But I would not assume that's going to impact this game very much, because I think Saban will be there in some capacity.
I think he goes Bobby Valentine and puts on a nose and glasses and mustache and sneaks in. What say you?
That would be great. I would like to see that, actually. No, but I don't know. I'm not sure how he pulls it off, but I can't imagine Nick Saban in a game like this, especially. I mean, what timing for him, right? The one game on Alabama's schedule they really have to worry about this year. But, you know, for him to not be at a game like that, you know, and sitting at home watching on the living room and not talking to anybody, that would just drive him crazy.
No question about it. Ryan Callahan at Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter. GoVols247.com on the intranet. Ryan, always a pleasure. Thanks for the knowledge and enjoy the football weekend.
Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. All right.